From Illinois Public Media, this is The 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. And over the summer in the 21st state and across the country, prices for rental housing have reached new records. The real estate service Redfin, in a report earlier this year, found that in May, and for the first time, the median rent for apartments in the U.S. broke $2,000 a month. And as of July, Redfin estimates that asking rents, and that's just asking, not even what they finally end up charging, are up about 15% year over year. It's worth noting those numbers exclude apartments that are not on the market. They also do not take into account listings from mom-and-pop type landlords. But that doesn't mean people who already rent aren't seeing their prices rise as well. Illinois has had a ban on rent control since 1997. Now, there are a lot of reasons for rising rents. Inflation plays a role, of course, but so does the housing market. High interest rates and limited availability are driving up home prices, and that, in turn, is forcing many people who want to buy a home to keep renting instead. Vacancy rates for rental housing were at 5.8% in the first quarter of this year. To put that in context, that is lower than at any time since 1985. Joining me now to talk about the state of rental housing in Illinois is Bob Palmer, Policy Director for Housing Action Illinois, which is based out of Chicago. Bob, welcome back to the program.
Thank you.
Paul Arena is also with us. He's Director of Legislative Affairs for the Illinois Rental Property Owners Association, and he's been a landlord himself for the past 32 years. Paul, thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me.
And finally, we're joined by Esther Pratt. She's director of the Champaign-Urbana Tenant Union. Esther, glad to have you with us as well.
Good to be here. Thanks.
And listeners, we want to hear from you. Are you renting now? Or maybe you know someone who's renting. Have you seen rents change in the last year? Maybe you've been searching for somewhere to live. 800-222-9455 is the number to join our conversation. That's 800-222-9455. Or tweet us at 21st Show, at 21ST Show. Paul Arena with the Illinois Rental Property Owners Association, I want to start with you, and let's begin with the big picture. What is rental housing availability looking like in Illinois right now?
Well, demand is very high right now, and supply is low. So in my own business, I can rent apartments pretty much as fast as I can get them ready. So, it is true that for, I think, in my entire career, right now in particular, demand is high, but demand has been high probably for the last 5 years. So,
has that changed in the last year and even 2 years ago? I mean, during the pandemic, a lot of people maybe weren't moving. There was an eviction moratorium, or do I have that wrong?
Well, there was, it was true that, I wouldn't say that a lot of people weren't moving. The market was very active through the pandemic. There were people who were staying in place because they couldn't be evicted. Those aren't the tenants that, you know, you're looking for. I mean, the quality tenants, people who are paying their bills, were still out there moving around doing stuff during the pandemic. From my perspective, it's a supply issue. There just isn't the supply of rental housing to meet the demand. And because the pandemic put a lot of financial pressure on smaller landlords, a lot of those people are taking advantage of the strong housing market and selling those single family rental homes. And those are being converted to owner occupied properties. So there's even less supply because of that.
And Bob Palmer with Housing Action Illinois, what about you? What's your perspective on the rental housing market, you know, a year after the eviction moratorium ended?
Well, certainly for all the reasons you mentioned, there's a great demand and increasing rental costs across the market, but really for extremely low-income households, which tend to be the households we're focused on the needs of at Housing Action Illinois. It's always been the case that there's been a great shortage of affordable rental housing. We released a report earlier this year with the National Low-Income Housing Coalition that found that for every 100 extremely low-income renter households in Illinois, there's only 36 affordable and available units. And those numbers have been relatively constant for, the last 10 or 15 years.
36 out of 100, is that what you said? So 100,
correct.
100 families looking for a place to live, only 36 places.
Or what is more often the case is that households are just paying way more than they can afford for rent. They're, for extremely low-income households, about 70% of them are paying more than 50% of their income just for their housing.
Okay. Esther Pat with the Champaign-Urbana Tenant Unit, I want to bring you into the conversation now. What are prices looking like in your part of Illinois for both new tenants and existing tenants?
Well, first, I do want to mention, as far as vacancy rate, in Champaign-Urbana, the rental housing vacancy rate is double the rate that you quoted. In fact, we've had a high vacancy rate for 30 years. And in the last 10 years, since the 2010 census, it has hovered above 10%. So we have a glut of available rental housing, but the affordability problem is really severe. And if you earn less than $35,000 a year, you have trouble finding affordable housing in Champaign-Urbana. And if your income's at the poverty level, for a single mom making $22,000 a year, there is no affordable housing in Champaign County without a rent subsidy. And as Bob mentioned, a lot of families with incomes below the poverty level, and really anyone making less than $15 an hour as a single head of household at a full-time job, is going to be rent burdened, where they're spending more than half their income on rent and utilities. And those are the people who are at high risk for eviction and therefore homelessness.
Esther, does the fact that the where you are in Champaign-Urbana, does the university play a role in sort of distorting the housing market, or maybe, what would you say, exerting a gravitational force one way or the other on the housing market? How does that interaction work?
Well, it affects the overall rental housing vacancy rate. A large number of the vacancies are, or a larger number of the vacancies are in the campus area, although the vacancy rate in the campus area is always the lowest of all the census tracts in Champaign County. In terms of trying to assess poverty, because there are 52,000 U of I students and most of them are childless, a way to look at census data separate from the students would be to look at the data for families with children. And of course, some students do have children, and there are a lot of non-students who don't, but we look at that and we find that in Urbana, the poverty rate for families with children is 25%. You know, one out of four households with children in Urbana have incomes below the poverty level. And considering that you have to make at least 150% of the poverty level to afford even the affordable housing, the tax credit affordable housing that the government helps create in order to create affordable housing, then you know, you've got a serious problem. And we have not seen any improvement in 30 years in the disconnect between the need for subsidized housing to lower rents and the availability of rent subsidies. Although that's beginning to change.
Mm-hmm. All right, let me take a moment to reintroduce our conversation. If you're just tuning in, this is the 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. We're talking about rental housing in Illinois and the rising price of rents. It is said to have hit records in Illinois and across the country this summer. The median rent for apartments in the U.S. Broke the $2,000 mark this summer, and that is the first time that has ever happened. 800-222-9455. If you are a renter or if you have tried to rent recently, we'd love to hear about what you are seeing and experiencing out there. There have been stories, at least in the Chicago area, about bidding wars where people are end up paying hundreds of dollars a month over the asking price. We'll ask maybe a little bit later if that's happening elsewhere in Illinois. But we're talking about this with Paul Arena, who's Director of Legislative Affairs for the Illinois Rental Property Owners Association and a landlord himself, Bob Palmer with Housing Action Illinois, and Esther Pat with the Champaign-Urbana Tenant Union. Again, 800-222-9455 if you want to join our conversation. And Bob, since we've been sort of talking about people on the lower income end of the spectrum, what happens when the needs for housing remain unmet?
Well, the worst case scenario is that people wind up being homeless, either literally on the street or couch surfing or doubled up or without a stable place to live. And obviously that has hugely detrimental impacts on their own personal lives in terms of their ability to be successful and prosper. But then also there's a lot of social costs associated with homelessness.
But even if people aren't homeless, then, as you were saying, they spend a greater share of their income on rent. What is there like a what is considered, you know, there's that old saw about, oh, you want to spend about a third of your income on rent. What is that a modern figure? What would you say today?
Yes, that's still the generally accepted guideline that you if you're spending more than 30% of your income on housing, then it's at the risk of being unaffordable. And as I said earlier, when you look at extremely low-income households, which in the Champaign area for a family of four is about $28,000 a year annual income, about three quarters of them are paying more than 50% of their income for housing. So they don't have much left over for, you know, to invest in their education or in their children for the other costs of daily living. And, you know, it's that saying, you know, just being one paycheck away from homelessness, a lot of those households are in that situation.
All right. I want to bring in a text we got from one of our listeners on this at our text, the 21st group. This is from Marianne in Champaign County, who said, "We are empty nesters who downsized from our house to an apartment in Champaign County 13 months ago. As we considered where to move after selling our house, we looked at condos and smaller homes to buy, as well as condos and apartments to rent. We were very disappointed in the availability in the area in general. Apartments we were interested in were almost exclusively aimed at students. We're aware there's a housing shortage in general in the U.S. and in our area. There's also a great deal of opportunity for a developer who might be paying attention to provide condos and apartments for empty nesters as the boomer population goes over to and through that stage." Let me ask Paul about this with the Rental Property Owners Association. You're also a landlord. Do you hear from people who, you know, especially in college towns maybe, where they say, you know, they want to get a place, but the nicest places, they don't necessarily want to live with a bunch of 20-year-olds?
I agree. So my business is in Winnebago County, and I know in my area there is a high need for housing that, you know, for empty nesters or people who just have, you know, disabilities where they just need reasonable accommodations, like doors that are a little bigger. So maybe you'll have a senior couple and one of them now is using a wheelchair. Those types of housing are almost non-existent. And I myself have thought in the past of renovating property to just to accommodate it, because I think you'd rent it as fast as you get it done. But again, because in general, the demand is so strong right now to rent anything, there's not the incentive there to make that investment in the properties, but there's certainly a need.
And Esther, do you have a perspective on that, since they were talking, Marianne was talking about your area in Champaign County in terms of
I don't think she was saying that she didn't like having student neighbors.
Sure.
I think she was saying,
maybe that was my assumption, and having known some people who sort of bought, I knew one person in particular who rented an apartment, didn't quite realize that it was going to be a student building, and then moved after a year.
Well, that's just prejudice. You know, there are people, student and non-student, who rent in a building, and there are working people on second shift who are real noisy at midnight. So, you know, but that's not the issue. I think what the person was saying is that there are so many students in the rental housing market in Champaign-Urbana that rents are set based on one person's income going with each bedroom. So a three-bedroom townhouse is priced as though there are three unrelated adults living in it rather than a retired couple. And that makes rents higher than what a lot of, from the perspective of someone who, say, is a retired couple, it makes the rents on the three-bedroom or even the two-bedroom look just look unaffordable and unnecessarily high. And I think, you know, that's part of the factor here. But, of course, I suppose there are people who don't like the idea of living around students, but generally we have a student ghetto where undergraduate students live mostly in the area close to campus and in certain apartment complexes that rent by the bedroom. And that might have been something also that the texter was referring to, that so many apartment complexes rent by the bedroom. So they're clearly designed in a sort of like a dorm apart way and not for regular residential living.
Sure, sure. All right, we need to take a break. We're going to continue this conversation when we return about the affordability of rental housing in 2022. Inflation is, of course, part of the picture, but there are other factors here as well, and we're going to talk about some of those. We're speaking with Esther Patt, who is director of the Champaign-Urbana Tenant Union, Paul Arena, who is with the Illinois Rental Property Owners Association and a landlord himself, and Bob Palmer, policy director for Housing Action Illinois. Who we are missing from the conversation is you, and we want to hear from you, like our text messengers who wrote in. We have a few more of those to share, and we want to hear your calls at 800-222-9455, especially if you or someone you know has been searching for somewhere to live in the past year or two. What are you seeing on the rental market? Have you been able to find what you want or need? What are the prices like? Did you have sticker shock when you were looking for an apartment? 800-222-9455 is the number to join our conversation. That's 800-222-9455. Or you can tweet us at 21st Show, at 21ST Show. More to come after a short break. This is the 21st Show. Stay with us. This is the 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. We're talking about the increasing cost to rent apartments in Illinois. It's also true around the country. 800-222-9455 if you want to join our conversation. We're talking about all this with Bob Palmer of Housing Action Illinois, Esther Patt with the Champaign-Urbana Tenant Union, and Paul Arena, who's with the Illinois Rental Property Owners Association and also a landlord in Winnebago County, which is where Rockford is located. Again, if you want to join us, 800-222-9455. And Paul, talk about the last few years and how that's affected landlords, especially the smaller, what would you say, mom and pop landlords in particular. Have you seen the pandemic driving them out of business, out of the market, so to speak?
Yeah, some of the smallest landlords couldn't weather the storm. You know, when you only have one building or two buildings and you got three, four people who aren't paying you, that's a large percentage of your total revenue, and those businesses failed. You know, we saw people walk away from properties, or again, if they were owners of single family homes, they were selling those properties to cover their bills and just get out of the business. I think larger landlords, you know, the more inventory you have, the less the percentage of the delinquency is of your total revenue, and they were able to weather the storm.
Esther, what's your perspective on that from the tenant side of things?
Actually, about 10 years ago, we started seeing the small-time landlords, someone who owns one 12-unit building or some fewer than 50 units, having a harder time leasing up. And I think it was entirely the result of the dominance of large companies on the internet. When people used to have to pick apartments from the newspaper, all of them, all the choices were right in front of you. And now I've tried searching for some landlords who I know exist, but not by their name, just searching apartments online, and they never come up. So that was going on for years. And then during the pandemic, everything Paul said, yeah, that's exactly accurate. So many small-time landlords just got pushed out. And what we're seeing now is that there are a lot more apartments that are owned or managed by very large companies, many of them out-of-town corporations, and far fewer individual owners in the market. And that's one of the things that does contribute to that higher rent that the text message was referring to about the market there. It's so sad. We are just losing so many good small-time landlords because they just can't make it in this market anymore.
All right. In the time we have remaining, I want to turn to some of the policy questions that are in this area. And I'm going to start with a clip from WICS-TV. Last month, protesters outside the Illinois State Fair in Springfield called for lifting the state's ban on rent control that I mentioned in the introduction to this conversation. Diego Morales with Lift the Ban Coalition was one of those protesters. This is what he had to say.
How are we supposed to survive, especially now that we're seeing inflationary pressures across the country, but especially on our rents and our ability to stay in our homes?
That clip again from WICS-TV. Bob, what do you think of that? What could a potential end to the ban on rent control mean for tenants?
Well, it's something in Housing Action Illinois we do support, repealing the state law that makes it illegal for local governments to take any actions in terms of rent control. It's important to know that just repealing that law actually wouldn't create rent control. It just allows local communities to have, you know, a discussion about it and decide if they want to pass local ordinances. So that's one policy thing, but we also need just more resources to develop affordable housing that's affordable to people with the lowest incomes. And a lot of those resources come from the federal government.
Paul, what's your perspective on that from the landlord side of things?
Well, I think economists agree that rent control doesn't work. It just discourages investment and reduces supply. And if you look at, I believe it was Minneapolis last year, had, I think by referendum, adopted a rent control policy. And now they're backtracking on it already because all of these developers are pulling out of the deals that they had proposed there. So I don't think from an economic standpoint, rent control doesn't work. And the other thing to, you know, we look at everything from a Chicago perspective and what's happening in these particular neighborhoods that are high demand, which does drive up prices rapidly. But in Winnebago County, we don't have that situation. We don't have a need for rent control here at all. And what will happen is if they remove the ban, smaller communities are going to be reactionary. They're going to smaller city councils will react to public pressure put on them by, you know, groups that are interested in having rent control. And by doing so, they're going to harm their own communities. So the policy at the bottom line just doesn't work. And it's the wrong way to approach the problem.
Esther, I think that this raises the question of is the problem of affordability and availability of housing, is this a state issue, a federal issue, a community by community, you know, zoning issue? Where do you see the biggest need for change here?
Well, it's a nationwide issue, and the problem is it's just the same as well, it's greater than the problem of lack of food, because lots of social service agencies can help people meal by meal. And the problem with helping people with housing is that rent is due month by month. But I'm not a big, I'm not enthusiastic about rent control, because the rent control that people need would be a law that limits rent increases to the consumer price index increase, you know, like cost of living, like Social Security. And these places that have passed rent control laws where with 6% or 8% rent control, rent increase allowed annually, protect the individuals who get stuck with a sudden 50% rent increase, but it does nothing for the average person whose income does not go up 6% per year or even 3% a year. You know, workers go on strike to get a 2% raise in their wages. How does 6 or 8% rent control actually help tenants?
Let me just take one more opportunity to remind listeners, this is the 21st show. I'm Brian Mackey. We're talking about the increase in the cost of housing and particularly apartment rentals. We're talking about that with Esther Patt of the Champaign-Urbana Tenant Union, Paul Arena with the Illinois Rental Property Owners Association, and Bob Palmer with Housing Action Illinois. Let me bring in another message from one of our listeners here. I had it. Oh, here it is. Stephen in Urbana writes, what portion of inflation is the result of greed or self-serving motivations? For example, the increase in consumer cost of gasoline far preceded any decline in the availability of oil and is always far slower to decline than the cost per barrel of oil. So I guess maybe that question is best directed to Paul. You're a landlord yourself. Talk about what goes into your cost structure at a time of inflation? What's happening with your own rents in your buildings?
Well, so historically, my model has been that I don't typically raise rents unless somebody's in my unit for a very long time. And I rely on rent increases at turnover to whatever the market is. However, now I'm experiencing such a high added cost for labor in particular and materials that I'm looking now at raising rents for some of my longer term tenants. To Esther's point about a rent control policy that controls your annual increases, what that does is for landlords like me, I could no longer do that model where I wait until somebody leaves to adjust the rent. Every tenant would experience some type of annual rent increase. Otherwise, you won't catch up with the market otherwise.
Just a couple of minutes left. Super briefly, Esther, I understand there's a new section of the Illinois Human Rights Act, speaking of policy, that's coming into effect.
Yes.
Talk super briefly what that is. Okay. Go ahead.
Effective January 1st, it will be a state civil rights violation, a fair housing violation, for a landlord to refuse to rent to a person on the basis of the fact that the person's rent is being subsidized by Section 8 or some other rent subsidy program. And that's really important because one of the big problems, in addition to our not having anywhere near enough money from federal and state governments for rent assistance, is that when people do get a rent voucher, they have so much trouble finding a landlord to take it because of the widespread discrimination. And that discrimination will become unlawful January 1st throughout the entire state of Illinois.
All right, source of income discrimination. Bob, last question to you, about 30 seconds. What resources are there for people who maybe have trouble, affording rent or finding affordable housing?
Well, there was a great deal of emergency rent assistance available during the pandemic. Most of that has been spent, but there is some still available. And if people go to the Housing Action Illinois website under the resources, get help with housing section, people can find out what programs are still available.
All right. I want to thank you all so much for being with us today on the 21st show. Bob Palmer with Housing Action Illinois, Paul Arena with the Illinois Rental Property Owners Association, and Esther Pat of the Champaign-Urbana Tenant Union. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.
Thank you.